It is 6:31 here at 88.5 FM WVOF in Fairfield, Connecticut. Joe Kelly with the Upper Room till 10 o'clock this evening. Hope everybody's doing well. And we are going to introduce once again to our airwaves a very esteemed handicapper and knowledgeable expert on horse racing and handicapping, Bill Kelly, who is also my dad. And, you know, we found out tonight he's actually in Pittsburgh suiting up for the Mets tonight. We're going to need you out there.
I'm playing short field.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm looking at the lineup here, and Pagan's on the disabled list. And
did he go on the?
Yeah. They just put him on the DL. Beltran's not playing tonight, so the lineup flashed up real quick. I wasn't able to catch it, but wow. And they're still.
Well, they must have activated Cora then, huh?
Oh, that's right. He's back, and he postponed the surgery, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's back. He was supposed to be back tonight, so I assume that they put him on in place of Pagan.
Right, okay. So Cora and Reyes, who knows if he's coming back anytime soon, but he's going for a rehab stint.
Yeah, he's going to be back on Friday.
Right. Yeah. So the two parts of the Triple Crown have already been raced, and what'd you think of the Preakness with Rachel Alexander and Mind That Bird and Muskman?
Well, I think, it was obvious that the filly ran fantastic. I mean, she took all the heat and kept on running. I was totally surprised by the run of Mind That Bird.
Mm-hmm.
he got a little interference at the top of the lane where he had a check a little bit, and I'm not sure that. He would have won the race, but he certainly would have made it a little closer than the actual final distance was. You look at his dosage figure and his background, et cetera, the horse shouldn't be going that far.
Right, right.
I mean, it can't be done, and yet he does it. So, to me, there are a couple of things about the Belmont that are interesting when you look at it. You know, when you... Most times you would think that a long race like a mile and a half would be dictated by horses that come from off the pace. Well, mm-hmm. In point of fact, it really is not. It's either horses that are, you know, no more than three or four lengths off the pace at the first call, which is the half-mile marker. And so that you have to have somewhat early speed. It's really a galloper's race. The other astounding figure, in the last 29 races of the Belmont, the winner, only 13 of those winners actually ran in either the Kentucky Derby or the Preakness. In other words, fresh horse has won more often than the horses that competed in the Triple Crown. That is even more astounding because most of the horses that are going into this race that haven't raced in the Kentucky Derby or the Preakness have never gone beyond a mile and an eighth.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, more often than not, they're winning a mile and a half. So I guess it comes down to breeding. I mean, really, is a horse bred to go that length, you know, the Test of Champions, which seems to be a part of the breeding sector that we've forgotten over the last 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, people have just totally ignored the longer races. I guess there's not as much money in it.
Well, last year, DeTara took everybody by surprise. What do you think was the pace on that?
Well, yeah, believe it or not, his pace was, he ran 48-2 and 112-8, which is about average. In other words, the average over the last eight runnings of the Belmont are 48-4 and 112-7. So, it's basically not a fast run race.
Mm-hmm.
the fastest, you know, it's interesting because the when you look at the times of the leading horse over the last 8 years, the one closer that won was Jazzle. And in that race, the half-mile time was 47-2, which is almost 7 lengths faster than the average run on the remaining seven. So you could almost say that a deep closer only has a chance if there's a horse in there that's going to set a reasonable pace, which, you know, obviously 47-2 would be a reasonable pace. Other than that, I mean, it looks to me, it comes down to really two horses. I think that Charlotte Man should be the favorite, and from its breeding aspect and everything else, it's a horse for course. He's run twice at Belmont and won both times. Won very easily, I guess, both times. And according to his breeding, should get a mile and a half. Should be able to set the pace or be right on it and take advantage of it.
Do you put much stock into horses coming out of the race? The Peter Pan, I guess the horse fizzled in the Met Mile. The name's escaping me.
Imperial Council.
Right, yeah. Right. Do you put much stock into those kind of things?
It's something to keep in mind. I think the ease that, if you watch that race in particular, I remember seeing it. I mean, Charles McMahon ran a very decent race. About the half mile pole, he just took off and nobody even challenged him. So I've forgotten what the closing margin was, but it was in the last few stages of the race, he was kind of geared down and just coasted home. I think he's probably deserves to be favored.
Mm-hmm.
The other horse, I think, that will take a lot of action and be is Dunkirk, who is, again, well-bred, you know, paid a lot of money for him. Didn't run a step in the Kentucky Derby. He's a horse that seems to, he's not necessarily, when at the half-mile pole, he seems to be to the back end of the horses, but he makes a big move in the middle parts of the race and should get himself into striking range at the top of the straight. And then it's just a matter of who's got the most
right.
left.
Yeah, and we're talking right now with Bill Kelly, who's also my dad, and out in Las Vegas, and notable handicappers joined us throughout the Triple Crown series, and we got to have you back for Saratoga too. Yeah.
After those great picks I gave you for the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, I wonder you even want me back.
No, this is a true story. The only person that I know who actually has made a profit on both races is the station manager here at WVOF, and he made it on a 30-second. I gave him the Briss printouts. He walked in. I said, hey, are you going to play the Derby? And he just went through it 30 seconds. He goes, I'm going to the ATM. Gave me the money to place the bet. And he had Musket Man both races for third, and he said he made $40 on each race. So.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I actually did okay on the Preakness because I wouldn't bet Rachel Alexander, I actually put her in with a double in the race previous. And
that paid good, yeah.
Yeah, that paid all right. So
right.
I think that the surprising part of that race, and really you don't know what to do about the Mind That Bird. Here's a horse, Joe, when you look at it. In the Kentucky Derby, he was a horse that should be running in mid-pack.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, or closer to the pace. All his races before that had been that way. He got squeezed very badly and ended up last. And then ran up the rail all the way until the top of the stretch where he had to go around one horse. All day, every race prior to that, the horses that stayed on the rail were successful. So he had the dream trip, and he blows by all the horses. So you say, well, you know, and plus he obviously liked the track, which was, you know, muddy or whatever at the Derby.
Right.
Preakness was dry. He's going to be nowhere. He comes dead last and almost makes an impression and almost wins. Right? So you say to yourself, well, what is he going to do in this race? You know, I still think he's a play against only from the standpoint of his breeding. I don't see how he can get a mile and a half. Of course, I didn't see he could get a mile and a quarter either.
So this,
who knows?
So this is a rare try at the Triple Crown, winning all three races aboard two different horses, Calvin Brell. Do you think there's a lot of pressure for him or not as much as...
I don't know. That's more media talk, I think, than anything. I think his problem is going to be how this race sets up. It sets up for a very slow pace because there's no speed horse in the race. I mean, there's no need to lead type in the race. The two horses that should be on the lead are Shadow Man and Miner's Escape. Neither one of them are true, confirmed, need the lead types. So the pace should be somewhere between 48 and 2 and 48 and 6, which is, for this class of horses, is galloping, you know. It's going to be a slow pace. I think Mind That Bird has tactical speed, which he hasn't shown, had to show in the Triple Crown because they've been holding him back. But if you look at his past performances, he's always been relatively close to the pace. It'll be interesting to see what Burrell does. I mean, Burrell himself hasn't really been that successful in New York. You know, I think he was on, wasn't he on Street Sense?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
He didn't do anything.
And, right.
I'm not blaming the jockey. I think this race is going to be won by a horse that can actually get the distance. And when you look at dosage, I mean, the horse, there are two long shots, I would think, that to look at as far as hitting the board. One is Miner's Escape, which should be close to the pace. It's got a decent dosage figure, and you know, there's an AP Indy with a Razor Native on the bottom side. I think should get the distance. I don't think he could win, but I think he could hit the board. Mm-hmm. The other one's Flying Private, who has ran a credible fourth in the Preakness, and he seems to be a horse that is on the improve and could be a factor, maybe along the lines of the Musket Man. You know,
right? Yeah. Why isn't Musket Man running in this one?
I think he's just worn out.
Right.
And plus, his dosage doesn't say a mile and a half is his best distance. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I mean, when you look at it, I think Chocolate Candy is an interesting horse, but he's certainly got the dosage to do it, but you have to question the horse hasn't done really anything on dirt. So you have to throw him out. Love Gov is a maiden winner, and that's it. I would not much confidence there. And Summer Bird and Mr. Hot Stuff. To me, are also Rans.
Right, right.
Brave Victory is the dosage says he can't get a mile and a half. And, you know, he ran third to Charitable Man, so, you know, and was way off the. I mean, he was 7 points slower in the Briss rating, so I wouldn't say he's anything to risk your money on. So I think it comes down to Travelman and Dunkirk as your two win candidates, with Miner's Escape and Flying Private, and probably Mind That Bird underneath somewhere.
So Mind That Bird, do you see going as the favorite?
I would think from a sentiment standpoint, he'll get a lot of money. If he right. goes favorite, I'd put a lot of money on Charitable Man. I think right. Charitable Man is the winner here. His running style is perfect for this race.
So whatever's left in people's retirement accounts, get some of that out for Saturday.
Get out on top of that one.
Yeah. So this is the 141st running of the Belmont Stakes, and do you recall how many you've been to in person?
In person? I've been to one in person. Actually, in person, I've only been to one.
I think I've been to three. But I was there with you the first one. It has to be because I went with you.
It was a Lucas horse that won, right?
I'm not sure who won that day, but
it was. I'm drawing a blank on the name.
Yeah. I remember.
Treasure, right?
What was the name?
Something Treasure. Wasn't it the horse that ran down his son?
Oh, yeah, Jeff. His son Jeff, yeah. I think, yeah.
In a horrible accident, but he was trying to stop him and ran him over. And
right.
I think that was a horse, I'll remember it, of course, when I hang up. But
I remember that day because the race after was actually the first winner I ever had in a race, Mr. Tyler, in the race where everybody's trying to make the money back they lost in the Belmont. I won the next race. So that's all I can remember.
Right. It was a memorable day. The thing that I remember about it was that, the crowd.
Yeah.
It was just filled with people. I mean, you know, and Belmont is such a big area anyway, and even the backside by the paddock was armpit to armpit.
Now I'm looking at the previous winners. I've got the list here. The Belmont Stakes. Let's see. I'm going back. You think it's a Lucas horse? 94 was Tabasco Cat.
That's it, right there.
Okay.
Tabasco
there is.
Cat.
Yeah, 94 Tabasco yeah. Cat. Pat Day on that horse. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm sure it'll be packed again, and
yeah, it should be. Hopefully, it'll be a nice day, and there have been a couple in the last few that just rained all day. I remember when the sun was the Sunnyside had had the shot at the Triple Crown, and the weather was just atrocious.
Right. Right.
There was another one that was, it rained a lot. So hopefully they get nice weather and every horse has a legitimate shot at doing it,
Now, you're a West Coast guy now, and the state of racing, Southern California, is it in big trouble?
Big trouble.
Oh, yeah? What are the main reasons?
Probably greed is one. Hollywood Park looks like it'll be gone totally within the next, certainly within when we're sitting there talking to a year from now, it'll be closed,
Right.
For real estate. They're in the process of MAGA is under bankruptcy, and they're selling off Santa Anita, although I think Santa Anita will remain a racetrack. Del Mar is under the gavel right now, at least from the governor's standpoint. They're selling off the complex is a state park.
Okay.
And they rent it, but I think Del Mar will remain. It's just, and of course, Northern California's already lost Bay Meadows.
Right. Right.
They're down to one track, plus the other small little tracks they use for the summer,
Right.
But like anything, the big problem here is taxes are high in California.
Mm-hmm.
And people have other options. I mean, you know, why are states like West Virginia, New Mexico, where there have a lot of casinos, et cetera, right on the property? And why are they getting, I mean, the horses are cheap, but they get filled fields. You go to California and, you know, a big field is seven horses. Something.
Right.
And they keep saying it's horse population. Well, I'm not so sure it's actually horse population. There's no reason to run the horses.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, so hopefully better times are ahead, but it doesn't look too promising.
No, it doesn't look promising.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't look promising for anything in California right now.
Yeah.
I would think that they have major, major problems.
Yeah, Connecticut, too. I mean, I was reading some, I don't know if it was Forbes or Fortune magazine, said, you know, future job growth, Connecticut was in the bottom five. So, and you grew up here, you know, so it's still nice, but some nice states having some trouble.
Yeah, all of the Northeast is having trouble.
Right.
Until we get to our senses and start spending what we make.
Yeah.
So the whole nation's in trouble. So.
Right. So I want to thank you, Dad, Bill Kelly, for coming by. The third analysis of the Triple Crown, the Belmont Stakes, the 141st edition to be run this Saturday. Belmont, get out to the park early. You can picnic.
Yes, get there early.
Yeah. And I've been there when it's been hot, and I've also been there when it's 50 degrees. So be prepared and be prepared to have some people around you.
It's a great time, though.
Yeah.
Really enjoy it.
And I think they're running extra trains out there, the LIRR and some special services. So you can get in and get out, hopefully better like that. So we'll let you get suited up for a game time at 7 out in Pittsburgh.
That's right. I got to warm up the arm.
That's right. Didn't you have a rotator cuff problem?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Believe me, if I make the team, I would be betting on the other side right away.
Well, they got Levon pitching tonight. His birth certificate says 34, but
they'll need more fielders.
Yeah. So to recap, you're two on top, Charitable Man and Dunkirk, you said?
Right. Yeah, those two. I think those are... Either one of those can win this race. I think I'm very, I mean, they'll both be one of the favorites, if not the favorite.
And underneath, I believe you had...
Miner's Escape.
Right.
Flying Private.
Mm-hmm.
And Meinatberg, you still got to give him some respect. I mean, really, looking at the dosage, I don't see how he can do it, but he's done it so far, so... I mean, when you look at the race, he's the only one that's actually done a decent job at a mile and a quarter. So
should be somewhere in the mix.
He has to be in the mix.
Right, right. So I want to thank you once again taking time out, and we'll have you come back if you'd like around Saratoga and Del Mar season and give us your wisdom.
Do that.
Yeah, always a great time.
Harvey Pack and I.
That's Harvey's still around, right? He's still.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He still does. He still does the shows from...
Cyros or Cyros.
Yeah, Cyros.
Yeah, when I went to Saratoga, I was walking in through the gate, and he was there. I just said briefly hello to him, so, you know.
Didn't you beat him in a contest one time, didn't you?
I did.
Didn't you do... You were was over at New Haven or Bridgeport where they had... it was a day's contest, and you beat
possibly,
him?
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, I don't remember winning anything like that, but maybe I did better than his picks that were on that day. Yeah,
well, I'm not sure you won anything, but
no, I don't think I won. I would have remembered. Yeah. But yeah.